The following day, an SS officer brought me an Olympia typewriter. Still more corpses of twins were sent to me. They delivered me 4 pairs from the gypsy camp. All 4 were under 10 years old. I began the dissection of one set of twins and recorded each phase of my work. I removed the brain pan. Together with the cerebellum, I extracted the brain and examined them. Then followed the opening of the thorax and the removal of the sternum. Next, I separated the tongue by means of an incision made beneath the chin. With the tongue came the esophagus. With the respiratory tracts came both lungs. I washed the organs in order to examine them more thoroughly. The tiniest spot or the slightest difference in color could furnish valuable information. I made a transverse incision across the pericardium and removed the fluid. Next, I took out the heart and washed it. I turned it over and over in my hand to examine it. In the exterior coat of the left ventricle was a small pale red spot caused by a hypodermic injection, which scarcely differed from the color of the tissue around it. There could be no mistake. The injection had been given with a very small needle. Without a doubt, a hypodermic needle. For what purpose had he received the injection? Injections into the heart can be administered in extremely serious cases, when the heart begins to fail. I would soon know. I opened the heart, starting with the ventricle. Normally, the blood contained in the left ventricle is taken out and weighed. This method could not be employed in the present case, because the blood was coagulated into a compact mass. I extracted the coagulum with the forceps and brought it to my nose. I was struck by the characteristic odor of chloroform. The victim had received an injection of chloroform in the heart, so that the blood of the ventricle, in coagulating, would deposit on the valves and cause instantaneous death by heart failure. My discovery of the most monstrous secret of the Third Reich's medical science made my knees tremble. Not only did they kill with gas, but also with injections of chloroform into the heart. A cold sweat broke out on my forehead. Luckily, I was alone. If others had been present, it would have been difficult for me to conceal my excitement. I finished the dissection, noted the differences found, and recorded them. But the chloroform, the blood coagulated in the left ventricle, the puncture visible in the external coat of the heart, did not figure among my findings. It was a useful precaution on my part. Dr. Mengele's records on the subject of twins were in my hands. They contained the exact examinations, X-rays, the artist's sketches already mentioned, but neither the circumstances nor causes of death. Nor did I fill out that column of the dissection report. It was not a good idea to exceed the authorized bounds of knowledge or to relate all one had witnessed. And here, still less than anywhere else. I was not timorous by nature, and my nerves were good. During my medical practice, I had often brought to light the causes of death. I had seen the bodies of people assassinated for motives of revenge, jealousy, or material gain, as well as those of suicides and natural deaths. I was used to the study of well-hidden causes of death. On several occasions, I'd been shocked by my discoveries, but now a shudder of fear ran through me. If Dr. Mengele had any idea that I had discovered the secret of his injections, he would send 10 doctors in the name of the political SS to attest to my death. and my interjection, and he knew, none better, that power would attempt to discredit this eyewitness account. And he made certain, with the depth of medical knowledge shown and the careful attention to detail, that they would not be successful. Words fail in trying to describe such courage and steadiness of will that he, this man, was placed in Auschwitz for us to bear witness is a gift we had no reason to hope for. Thank you, Miklos. Thank you.